Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The text for our meditation for today is the second lesson, read just a moment ago from Romans chapter 10. You're welcome to look at that reading with me in your Bibles on page 802. Paul has continued to think in this reading, as we've heard in the past few weeks, about his fellow Jewish people, how they have had so many blessings from God, and yet how far from God they were, because they would not simply listen to the word and the will of God, especially in the Word made flesh, our Savior Jesus Christ. And just before our text, Paul points out one of the biggest problems. They did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. But Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. And then he goes on with the text that we have before us this day. And he explained that there are two ways that people think they can be right with God: by keeping his laws and rules, by being good enough, whatever that standard is, whatever the expectation of God might be for them and for their lives. It depends upon what we do, whether we will be part of God's kingdom or not. And that's described by the Old Testament word, most described in this way, the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But then he gives the other way. In fact, as we know, the only way that will really work for us. And so he says, but the righteousness that is by faith, and then he goes on to describe what that would be. And faith simply trusts not what we do, but what God has done for us, especially in the work of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And Paul goes on in his passage to say, that's the only way that will ultimately work for us. But it's very easy, even for us, to focus on other things, to get away from that simple message that we just sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, the Bible tells me, this is the way things really are. You think of Job, who certainly knew God and had followed him faithfully, but then trouble came in his life, and he began to question God and have struggles and difficulties. He kept his faith, but it was a real struggle to do so. And God finally had to come to him and tell him, Job, think about what you're able to do and what you can accomplish versus what I have done. And then God describes him himself in our Old Testament lesson, and all of his mighty creative work, his care for people, even dealing with death itself. And Job can only humbly stand before the Lord and realize how weak he is and how great God is and how he must depend upon him. Or think about Peter in our gospel lesson for this day. He and the other disciples have just seen a great miracle by Jesus. Heard about it last Sunday, the feeding of 5,000 people. Peter and the others were able to participate in it, not by doing any of the miracle, but by taking the food to the people and distributing it. They knew where it came from. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and this amazing miracle that Jesus had done as the bread of life. And they've seen plenty of other miracles too. But then Jesus sends them off in a boat. He goes to pray, and then he comes to them walking on water. You might think by this time they would figure out he can do miraculous things. He can do amazing things. Instead, they are only terrified by what they think might be a ghost coming to them on the water. And they're all superstitious and involved in everything, but simply trusting the Lord who can do great and amazing things. And even Peter has his questions. He says, even when Jesus says to him, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. It's as clear as could be who this is, and the word of Jesus says that. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. It's almost as if he's saying, Lord, prove it. Show me that you really are the person you say you are. Allow me to also do what you're doing, to walk on the water. And Jesus allows that, and Peter starts walking, but very quickly he must be thinking about himself and his power and the waves, and he begins to sink. And all he can do is call out to Jesus, Lord, save me. And immediately, of course, Jesus reaches out and lifts him up, and they get back into the boat. And then another amazing miracle happens. The wind stops immediately when Jesus gets into the boat. And then the disciples say, truly you are the Son of God. But it took all kinds of miracles to bring them to that point in their lives to say that kind of thing. And Jesus talks about how little their faith is when they're trusting themselves and trying to do things on their own. And again, if you remember about Peter and the disciples, they didn't do too well as time went on. They'd seen all these miracles and amazing things, but the miracles didn't seem to last for them. Later on, when Jesus says, I'm going to have to suffer and die, Peter didn't want to hear that. He was thinking his own way. He was thinking of the glory of Jesus, miracles of Jesus, amazing things of Jesus. He does not want to think about Jesus suffering and dying. And Peter says, in his own thinking, this will never happen. I'm going to stand by you and never let this happen. And again, he's thinking about himself and what he can do and what he can accomplish. And Jesus has to correct him there and over again. Isn't that the story of our own lives as well? We have confidence in Christ at times, but it's easy to get off track, to get wrapped up in this world and all the things that we face day by day, the wind and the waves of this world that we're facing in our own country and in plenty other places. Sometimes we want signs and miracles. If it's you, Lord, why don't you do this or that or something else for me? And we kind of look for those things too. Even though Jesus had been teaching his disciples, don't just put your trust in miracles. In fact, he tells a parable about a man who has ended up in hell and wants his family to be saved. And he says, if you'll just send somebody back from the dead, then they'll believe. And Jesus said, if they won't believe the word of God, Moses and the prophets, they won't believe even if there's a great and a spectacular miracle. Jesus is saying, miracles are wonderful, and he did many of them, but don't just look for miracles as the basis for your faith. Or sometimes we just focus upon ourselves. When we feel good, then we may feel like the Lord's blessing us and things are good. If we have discouragement and trouble and difficulty in our life, then we wonder where the Lord is, like Job did, and we struggle. And sometimes we're kind of on a roller coaster in our life as far as our relationship with God is concerned. Well, in our scripture passage from the second lesson, Paul is taking us back to the foundation we really need. The only place we're going to find stability for our life. It's not in one miracle after another in our life. It's not in the things that we do. It's not in our own thinking about things. It's simply going back to God's Word and hearing again about Jesus and what he has done for us and having confidence in him. Paul writes in our scripture passage, the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who's going to ascend to heaven to bring Christ down? Or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead? Don't think about miraculous things that you or someone else needs to do. Somehow we need to control God and get his attention so that we can get out of him what we want. Paul is reminding us we could never do any of those kinds of things. Can we ascend to heaven and get God to come down and help us? Could we go into death and bring Christ back from the dead? Obviously, we could never do any of those kinds of things. And the good news is we don't have to. God has already done everything we need. All the miraculous things that we need for our life and our future in what He has done, and especially in the gift of Christ. It is God who sent His Son from heaven down to this world to be one of us, to be our Lord and Savior. It's God who sent His Son to the cross to pay for all of our sins and make us right with God and forgiven by the sacrifice of Christ. It is God who raised His Son from the dead on the third day already for us. Everything has been done and accomplished in Christ. So righteousness that is by faith doesn't think about what we still need to do somehow to make things right. It simply trusts what God already has done in Jesus Christ. What does it say? The Word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. It's God's Word that really gives us strength. It's God's Word that is already very near to us. It's been revealed to us in Old and New Testament, and especially in that Word made flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we would just simply listen to the Word of God in good times and difficult times, not looking for miracles, not listening to ourselves or what everybody else says, listening to the Word, then we are on a solid foundation, because it's always pointing us to what God has done, His love for us in Christ, the encouragement we really need for our life and for our future. The Word is near you, He says. It's sitting in the Holy Scriptures every single day, available for us as God's people. And it's in our hearts as God works in us and brings us to trust that good news. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and trust in your heart that He has been raised from the dead, you will be saved. It's as simple as that. Jesus loves me. He's done what I need. As I believe that, I know where my future will be. It's confidence in the words and the promises of God. As Jesus said to the disciples, take courage, it is I. Everything's going to be okay. As we keep listening to God's word, that's what we will hear for our lives as well. The law of God sometimes can challenge us and show us our weaknesses, but above all, the good news of Jesus and what He has done. And again, it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. It's the scripture that says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. And again, scripture says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's the good news of God's word that gives us hope. Miracles we're not going to see every day. Even if we saw them, we probably wouldn't notice them in our lives. I was thinking the other day about the miracle of the human body. It's amazing how our body works. And as a dietitian, I'm sure you studied all those kind of things. And we have someone who taught that at Purdue for many years. It's amazing how our body works. It's a miracle that we sort of take it for granted and live day by day. What really will give us confidence and hope is God's word and His promises and what He says to you and me as His people. And He promises eternal life by what He's already done, His work completed in Jesus Christ. And the key thing again is hearing the word of God for ourselves, trusting that, and then bringing it to other people as well. And the amazing thing is the scriptures tell us that God's word is effective. It's not just words on a page, but through it God can actually bring us to faith, strengthen our faith, and encourage other people and bring them to faith. You might remember the story of Lydia in the scriptures. She was listening, and then it says the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to the word of God. It's God who even uses the Word to open our hearts and help us to have confidence about our life and our future, because it's the power of God's Word that really is the blessing for you and me. And so Paul goes on to say, how then can they call on one they haven't believed in? How can they believe in one of whom they've never heard? How can they hear without somebody preaching to them? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the Word that tells us about Jesus and what He has done for you and for me. If we want to stay in faith and grow in faith and be confident about our future, it's not looking to ourselves, it's not looking for signs and miracles and some other kinds of proof from God. It's listening to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. That's the way that God works and strengthens and blesses you and me, pointing us to Christ, His completed work, and the hope that we have in Him. And if we want others to grow in faith, or even come to faith in the first place, we need to in some way do what we can to get them exposed to the Word and to the will of God. And again, it's easy to get off track with that kind of thing. Even in a well-meaning kind of way, I received a mailing this past week from a group that does an awful lot of good, and I think what they were saying was, we need to be a witness for Christ in everyday life as we do good to others. But the person writes, the Word of God is spread when a student reaches out a helping hand to another in class, at lunch. The path to heaven is demonstrated when students work together to help others through a food drive, or when they spend time reading with young students. That's all good stuff, but what else needs to be there? The Word of God itself. Yeah, you have to hear the Word, Paul says, for people actually to come to faith. A non-Christian can read to a child in school and help that child. And those are all very good things, and Christians ought to be very involved in those things too. But it's a little off track to say that's how the Word of God is spread. The Word of God is spread when the Word of God is spread, when the good news of Jesus is shared with people, and when we trust it enough ourselves to be confident about our future by God's help, and then share that actual Word with people all around us. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes through the Word of Christ. And that's where our confidence will always be as God's people. It's what Peter had to learn too. Saw lots of miracles, but they didn't help him entirely. It was simply trusting the Word of God, the finished work of Christ, that was the key for him, for us as well. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's as simple as that for us. Let us rise for prayer. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds where they need to be. Help us, Lord, when we are struggling, to open our Bibles and listen to your Word. Help us when we are overwhelmed by this world to keep coming to worship and hearing what you have to say and being encouraged by the way you say you will work through your Word. In the name of Christ, we ask your blessing. Amen.